right, 5 p.m. on Wednesday. Are you ready to rock?
I want to rock.
I'm so glad you tuned in with, and listening here at WHBC. I'm your host, Tom Ryan, for the next hour. My lovely wife and co-host, Heidi Morales Ryan, joining us as well, of course. The show is American Hit Radio, as I hope you are aware. And we've been doing this for quite a while now, this countdown of ours, working our way through the top 500 of the top 40 and the alternative top 40. That's 500 albums for us to cover. It's going to take a lot of time to do that. That's a solid 10 years. And if you count double albums as taking up 2 weeks, and there's a significant number of those, might go on for even a little bit longer than that. All I got to do is stay healthy. But we've been doing it for a while already. We started in 1964, and we've worked our way up to late 1973. And in fact, this week is part two of a double album. We played The Who's Quadrophenia, part one, last Wednesday. So today we get to finish it up. Now, if ever there was an album that suits the weather outside, Quadrophenia is it. When you're listening to the album, you should be closing your eyes and you should be imagining that cold, wet, rainy coastline of England where so much of the story takes place. But if you have a hard time imagining it, just open up your window when you're listening. You wouldn't have to imagine at all, because that's exactly what we're living through right now. This is perfect, balmy English weather that's going on outside.
That's why it's New England.
That's right.
You always tell me we're not New England, though.
Well, we're not New England, no.
Aha. Uh-huh. Got you again.
New England starts with Connecticut, Rhode Island, Massachusetts, Vermont, New Hampshire, and Maine. I think I named all of them.
Okay, but yeah, where is York?
Well, yeah, but that doesn't make us New England. I don't know why, but it doesn't.
I know. I'm just messing with you.
So, regarding Quadrophenia, with all the talk and attention that revolves around the concept of Quadrophenia, the layered personalities of the four band members combined to create a confused mod teenager, and also comparisons to Townsend's previous rock opera, Tommy, it seems that the most fundamentally relevant aspect of Quadrophenia is often overlooked, which, of course, is the music. The Who sound larger than life on Quadrophenia. Townsend's melodies are outstandingly consistent from the beginning of the album to the end, and the arrangements never falter. Yes, the theme is fascinating, but even if it was just a bunch of songs, this album would still be fantastic. But since there is a story, I'm going to do what I did last week. We started by reading from liner notes, which more or less encapsulate the theme of the album. I was reading along with the tunes. If you missed it, the story is relatively simple up to this point. Jimmy is a confused teenage kid, likes his parents, but he also likes his leapers and finds himself getting in trouble a lot, can't hold down a job, and his parents are fed up with him and his misbehaving and his coming home all basically strung out on speed. So they kick him out of the house. He leaves, and he starts to sleep under what he calls a flyover, which is essentially an intersection. He's sleeping under, under a highway above him, and basically staying there during the day and then going out to hang with his friends at night. And it's kind of a tough go for him, of course, you could imagine at that point. And he's also dealing with this sense of the fact that he is being pulled in too many directions. He can't hold the jobs. He's now becoming very seriously questioning his own stability in his mind, the fact that he was seeing a psychiatrist, because that came up earlier in the thing, also plays into it. So now he's out on the street, and this is exactly where the story picks up. So I'll start reading from the words, which I think are probably Townsend's words. I don't know what clicked inside me, but I got fed up with sleeping under the flyover. The weather was terrible for a start. two rainy nights, and that was it. See what I mean? Open up your window. I really started to fancy going back to Brighton, the seaside. I still had about 200 leapers left, kept me company. What was really weird was seeing this bird that I really liked. I even had her on the beach at Brighton. Two in a sleeping bag is really cozy until you're finished. Anyway, she was with my mate Dave. Him. She walked right past me after a dance at the Goldhawk. The girl of my best friend and all that. It did me in. It was like the last straw. The real last straw was yet to come. I was so brought down, I smashed my GS up in the pissing rain. That's his scooter. I can't bear to think about it. I walked to the station down the railway tracks across the river. I felt like throwing myself in front of a train, but I didn't. I took about 20 leapers at once, got a first-class ticket to Brighton, and set off to my land of dreams. That would bring us to this track, which is the train that he got on, the 5:15.
Here it comes.
such an amazing song. It conveys so much. Last week, by the way, well, we'll get to it, but I wanted to mention that there are the four personalities of the four members of The Who are also represented by four specific themes on the album. We heard Rogers last week, the song Helpless Dancer, and we'll be working our way to hear Keith, John, and Pete's themes as this progresses. But back to the story of where we were. I did some thinking on the train. At one point, I could swear I was floating about in the carriage, looking down at these two city agents, or gents, excuse me. What was weirdest about it was that I could see myself as well. It must have been the pills again. Brighton is a fantastic place. The sea is so gorgeous, you want to jump into it and sink. When I was there last time, there were about 2,000 mods driving up and down the promenade on scooters. My scooter's seen the last of Brighton bloody promenade now, I know that. I felt really anonymous then, sort of like I was in an army. But everyone was a mod. Wherever you looked, there were mods. Some of them were so well-dressed, it was sickening. Levi's had only come into fashion about a month before, and some people had jeans on that looked like they'd been born wearing them. There was this bloke there that seemed to be the ace face. He was dancing one night in the aquarium ballroom, and everyone was copying him. He kept doing different dances, but everyone would copy it, and the whole place would be dancing a dance, and he'd only just made it up. That's power for you. He was really heavy, too, though. When the mods collected in Brighton, the rockers would turn up, too. There were never as many of them, but this geezer once took on two of them at once and beat them. That didn't usually happen, I can tell you. I think this would be a good place to play two tracks, both Sea and Sand and the song Drowned.
Here by the sea and sand, nothing ever goes as planned. split home at 15. There's a story that the grass is so green. What did I see? Where have I been? Nothing is planned by the sea and the sand. We'll be right back.
That was Drowned, preceded by Sea and Sand, setting up the climactic part of the story. It's amazing when you get some of the history of how what the Who had to go through when this album was being made, that it got made at all, and that they didn't totally just implode. Roger Daltrey, who had, you know, pretty tough guy to deal with at times, and he had found that the managers had been suddenly very wealthy, inexplicably wealthy, and he knew that they were stealing from the band, so he went into a rage and was demanding that they get fired. But in the meantime, Kit Lambert was supposed to be producing the album, and at the same time as they were trying to record the album, they were also building their own recording studio, which was lacking in equipment. They didn't even have a board after 6 months of working on it. So it was Ronnie Lane who came to the rescue.
His mobile recording rig, didn't he?
Exactly. So he brought that in, and they were using that. But then Kit Lambert, who the alleged producer, ended up, you know, not showing up or showing up loaded and not being able to work. So the band had to basically find out ways around him and just basically using the engineer to do most of the recording. Almost all of the synthesizers were recorded by Pete Townsend at home because they couldn't figure out how to patch them all through with the equipment that they had in the studio. It was too complicated for all the different sounds that they wanted to get. And Pete already had all the sounds that he wanted at home anyway. So he'd basically work with the band for a great number of hours during the day, and then he'd go home and he'd work all night on getting down the sounds for the demo that he could bring in. Most of the album was not recorded with the band together in sync. Each player adding their own part to Pete's demos, for the most part. I think the one song that they actually did record live was 515, the way we started the show. But I think, with all of that, you'd say, this album doesn't sound like that. It's just such a well-structured album, and the arrangements are amazing. So it's special. The other thing that's, by the way, that's worth mentioning at this point is the film. I don't know if you've seen it, the movie Quadrophenia, but I would highly recommend it. I think I've probably seen it 3 times. I'm due for a fourth. I haven't seen it for a good decade, I don't think. But it's excellent, especially when you get to the scenes in Brighton where you get to see the character who is that the geezer Maude, as Jimmy was referring to him in the text, who was like the leader of the guy who could dance and everybody would imitate him. In the movie, it's Sting playing that role. And it's well acted by everybody, and the cinematography is quite good as well. So it's worth seeing. Definitely would say so. So back to the story then that accompanies the album. I was in a crowd of kids once, chasing 3 rockers down Brighton Pier. As it seemed they were going to get caught anyway, they stopped and turned to meet their fate. All 100 of these kids I was with stopped dead. I was the first to stop, but the rest ran, so I had to follow. There's nothing uglier than a rocker. This ace-faced geezer wouldn't have run. He smashed the glass doors of this hotel, too. He was terrific. He had a sawn-off shotgun under his jacket, and he'd be kicking at plate glass, and he still looked like he was Fred Astaire reborn. Quite funny. I met him earlier today. He ended up working at the same hotel, but he wasn't the manager. This brings us to the next theme song, Keith's theme song, which is entitled Bellboy.
Thank you.
I gotta get running now.
Bellboy,
keep my lip buttoned down.
Bellboy,
carry this baggage out.
Bellboy,
always running at someone's bleeding ill. You know how I feel.
I still sleep on the beach. Remember when stars were in reach. I wander in early to work. Spend my day licking boots for my perks.
A beach is a place where a man.
To the story of Jimmy. I never ever felt like I blasphemed, you know, in an old-fashioned sense. But I was in a pretty blasphemous mood when I left for Brighton. Brighton cheered me up, but then it let me down. Me folks had let me down. Rock had let me down. Women had let me down. Work wasn't worth the effort. School wasn't even worth mentioning. But I never ever thought I'd feel let down by being a mod. I pinched this boat, first time I'd ever been on a boat at sea. I had another few leapers to keep from coming down, and I felt a bit bravado, so I headed for this rock out off the coast. It was sticking up, very jagged, but very peaceful. I didn't know then what I was up to, but I know now. Which brings us to another theme song, this one for John Entwistle, called Dr. Jimmy.
moment. The stars are falling. The heat is rising. The past is calling. Is it me for a moment? The stars are falling. The heat is rising. The past is calling.
John Entwistle's theme there, Dr. Jimmy. Speaking of which, back to Jimmy. Schizophrenic. What a laugh. It must be all right to be plain ordinary mad. About halfway over, I took a swallow of this Gilby's gin I'd bought. Booze never did help me much, though. On the boat, it did me right in, especially on top of the pills and the come down. Anyway, the sound of the engine turned into this drone. And the drone turned into a sound like pianos or something, like heavenly choirs or orchestras tuning up. It was really an incredible sound, like the sort of noise you'd expect to hear in heaven, if there is such a place. I pinched myself, and I wasn't really drunk anymore. I was floating. I felt really happy. I must have looked bloody stupid, as it happens. I was waving me Gilbies around in the air and singing in tune with the engine. The sound got better and better. I was nearly delirious when I got to the rock. I switched off the engine and jumped onto it. When the engine stopped, so did the music. And when the beautiful music stopped, I remembered the come down I had. I felt sick from the booze, and the sea was splashing all over the place, and there was thunder in the distance. I remembered why I'd come to this bastard rock. So that's why I'm here. The bleeding boat drifted off, and I'm stuck here in the pissing rain with my life flashing before me. Only it isn't flashing. It's crawling. Slowly. Now it's just the bare bones of what I am. A tough guy. A helpless dancer. A romantic? Is it me? For a moment? A bloody lunatic. I'll even carry your bags. A beggar. A hypocrite. Love reign over me. Schizophrenic? I'm bleeding quadriphenic. We'll let The Who have ended here, of course, with the theme that brings it all together, the instrumental track, which is called The Rock. And then that will end us with Pete's theme, Love Rain Over Me. Hope you enjoyed this, folks. See you on Friday, I hope, at 5 p.m. See you then. Enjoy the weather.
Only love can make it rain the way the beach is kissed by the sea. Only love can make it rain like the sweat of lovers laying in the field. Only love can